But let's start in the Middle East. Now, US Vice President Mike Pence has made a lot of noise this week, warning North Korea that America's patience was wearing thin. Less boisterous was Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. He was in Saudi Arabia talking about the civil war next door in Yemen, where 10,000 people have died, 40,000 injured. The Saudis, with America's support, are trying to prop up an unpopular government against rebels from a minority Shiite sect. They're backed by Iran. Mattis says the world must end. But does this happen through a United Nations peace process, which has failed so far, or by more military aid to the Saudis? Let's ask one of the best analysts in the region, Pakistani journalist and author Ahmed Rashid. He files regularly for the New York Review of Books. Ahmed, welcome.
Thank you.
Look, just before we get to the question of Yemen, you also wrote recently about Afghanistan just this week. Did the so-called mother of all bombs that the Trump administration dropped on Afghanistan have any, you know, real effect in quarantining or destroying ISIS in Afghanistan?
Well, yes, you know, I mean, in many places, ISIS, of course, is a primary target, and that includes Iraq and Syria. In other places, Al-Qaeda is a primary target, and that includes Yemen, for example. And in other places, you've got a nationalistic extremist movement like the Taliban, who don't have any interest in going global or launching attacks against America or anything like that. In all the years they've been around since 1993, they've never done anything like that. So you need different tactics, different military tactics, but above all, you need different political strategies to deal with them, to alienate them, to try and encourage breakaway sections of them, so you can open a dialogue with some of them, perhaps. You need a political, economic, hearts and minds strategy. And all that is completely missing from what we've seen of President Trump's efforts so far. The Secretary of State is going to sit over the cutting of the State Department by one third. And he has not protested even. And we still, 2 months on, don't have any ambassadors in place. There are about 90 U.S. ambassadors who need to be replaced, not to speak of other people in the State Department, important level people, who would deal with negotiations, who have the expertise to do that. So you have a situation where all the other bits and blobs of diplomacy, of negotiations, of statecraft, as it were, is being totally eliminated.
Mm. Overall, has the presence of the US military in the Middle East and its activities increased since the election of Donald Trump?
Well, everywhere what we have seen is the increase in military forces on the ground. Not by large amounts, but they send a very significant message because most of them are special forces. And of course, we know that special forces can be ramped up to then bring in more basic infantry and armored units. But we have seen more soldiers going to Iraq, more aircraft, etc., bombing Yemen, more soldiers in Kuwait, in Bahrain. And of course, there's now plans for more soldiers being sent to Somalia and to Afghanistan.
Yeah, and so, I think, Ahmed, you've pointed out that all this is being done without consultation with NATO or the other US allies.
Well, exactly. I mean, in previous US presidents, even President Bush, never made a move without consulting the allies, giving them pre-warning, asking for their opinions, even enlisting some of their own soldiers. What we have now is, and I've been speaking to senior diplomats in Brussels, in the European Union, and they say there's no suggestion of any kind of dialogue with the Trump administration on where these escalations are taking place, nor with NATO. And I think that is really going to backfire, because the Americans are going into war zones, increasing troop levels, and using weapons like this massive bomb they used in Afghanistan without any kind of consultation. And it'll be sucking in the allies into a conflict, at some stage, maybe they don't want.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump said during the election campaign that he would be unpredictable in the way that he dealt with terrorists and the Middle East. I guess that's what he's giving us, unpredictability.
Well, I think it's much worse than unpredictability, because I think there's a method behind the madness, and the method is to go it alone, to go it militarily rather than diplomatically, and refuse to consult your friends and allies. And that's what we're seeing.
Let's talk now about Yemen, because in so many ways, Yemen is the forgotten war in the Middle East. You wrote that the most startling example of US military intervention was in Yemen, almost no debate in Congress, no coordination with NATO allies. So how involved is the US in the Yemen conflict?
When the Yemen conflict started 2.5 years ago, President Obama expressed support for the Saudis and the Arabian Gulf countries, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah, etc., this alliance of Gulf Arab countries who were attacking Yemen to restore the former government. Now, initially, the Americans supported them, but then the Saudis started a massive bombing campaign against civilians, killing hundreds of Yemeni civilians in major cities, and Obama backed down, and he said, I'm not going to allow the use of American bombers and American aircraft and bombs to kill civilians. And the Saudis did not learn their lesson. They continued to do what they were doing. And having quite bad relations with Obama, feeling that Obama had let them down. And then when Trump came in, he scotched all that and said, that's fine, we'll support you. And we'll bomb the Yemenis to bits if we have to. And we don't mind if civilian casualties occur. And so what we've seen is a stepped up bombing of Yemen by Saudi and Gulf aircraft using several facilities provided by the U.S., such as refueling bombs, precision bombs, etc. And you've also seen a build up of soldiers and naval forces in the seas outside Yemen, and soldiers in neighboring Somalia. So the U.S. now is committed to this, in many people's views, hopeless war in Yemen. You know, Yemen is not a country in which you can win a war. It's like Afghanistan, extremely mountainous, rugged, and its people are very, very tough fighters. On the other hand, to credit Obama, he did start a dialogue process using the United Nations to try and get all sides to agree to a ceasefire.
Yeah, it's Saturday Extra. Andrew West in for Geraldine Doogue. I'm speaking with the distinguished Pakistani journalist Ahmed Rashid. Ahmed, does it dawn, by the way, on anyone in the national security establishment that it's probably never a good idea to deepen ties with the Saudis? Saudi Arabia, you know, being probably the worst exporter of extremist Salafi Islam. So not a good idea to deepen ties, let alone give the Saudis carte blanche in a place like Yemen.
Well, that's probably right. But, you know, what we've seen with President Trump is that, you know, he loves dictatorships. He's just welcomed the Egyptian president, Sisi, to Washington. Yeah, he loves autocrats. He can deal with these people, you know, where you don't have to deal with organizations and cabinets and ministers. You just deal with one man. And clearly, this is what he prefers to anything else.
Yeah. The New York Times has reported that three provinces in Yemen have been declared areas of active hostilities, which I think means free fire zones. Is this true? And what does it mean in practice?
Well, it has been now described directly by the U.S. administration. They have declared three zones in Yemen and also a large part of Somalia as what I have called in my piece in the New York Review of Books, free fire zones. And we've seen that in Afghanistan right after 9/11, where the Taliban was suspected of hiding and Al-Qaeda was. And literally, a free fire zone means that American aircraft have permission to bomb anything that moves on the ground, literally.
Indiscriminately.
And what we saw in the case,
Indiscriminately.
Indiscriminately, exactly. And what we saw in the case of Afghanistan, and I'm sure it's happening in Yemen too, where, you know, weddings and funerals and gatherings of people for whatever reason you know, a birthday party or something could be bombed simply because the area was declared a free fire zone. Civilians in that area were not allowed to gather in any shape or form. And this is now, I mean, we've seen the most horrendous bombings in Saudi Arabia, where factories and homes and schools and hospitals have been bombed. And the Saudis have been using this double tap system, which the Syrians have perfected. You bomb a place and then you go in 10 minutes later when people are trying to pull people out of the rubble, and you bomb it again for the second time and killing even more people. And we've seen such tactics being used, and the Americans are very much a part of this.
Yeah. Just as we wind up, Ahmed, the UN has declared that Yemen is one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. I think 70% of the population is in need of aid. Is there not a blockade that's been imposed by the Saudi-led coalition that's even preventing medical supplies getting in?
Well, that is the real human rights crisis, is that Yemen was very dependent on food imports, and the fact that all its ports have been besieged by the Saudi and Gulf navies, and the American Navy for that matter, means that the Yemenis are not being able to import any food, and aid agencies are not being able to land their food. So we have an absolute crisis now where, it's been a year now since this blockade and these food shortages started. People are literally dying of hunger. And if you see the pictures, I mean, they're horrific. They're even worse than Syria. The malnutrition suffered by children and other things.
Yes, I've only got 1 minute, Ahmed. So last question. What do you then make of Defence Secretary Jim Mattis's comment that the war in Yemen simply has to end? How do you think they'll try to bring that about if they're serious?
Well, I hope these military figures ultimately realise, and they are some of the most intelligent generals that America has seen. General Mattis, I have a lot of respect for, and for General McMaster, who I knew in Kabul, in Afghanistan some years ago. These are thinking people and knowledgeable and aware that you need a parallel civilian dialogue with your opponents. I just hope that they will be able to assert their influence over Trump and his close aides who believe in war and elimination of your opponents.
Well, let's hope it's not hope against hope. Ahmed Rashid, thanks for being with us on Saturday Extra.
Thank you.
Yes, Ahmed Rashid, Pakistani journalist and author, and coming up this weekend's charged presidential election in France.